verse 1 and 2. As Paul, you know, came, he's talking, he's opening up grace. And grace is God's favor. And in our salvation is a gift. And as he breaks it down in the epistle to the Romans, it's about receiving God's grace. So in chapter 12, verse 1, he really starts the application process. And he does it with such a tone. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, please receive his grace. Please respond to him, his love, his gifts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's a good portion there. But Paul, staying in the same vein and context, goes on really to talk about the new mind, the renewing of the mind. He says we're to be transformed, not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. And in verse 3, he really, you know, addresses the renewal, a new thinking process. He says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. See this, you know, as Paul talking about the renewing of the mind. The renewing of the mind really means a new way of thinking. So we come to Christ, Christ changes our way of thinking. New nature comes with a new mind, spiritual mind, the Bible tells us. The renewal, that word, it means like a spiritual renovation. In the Strong's Concordance, it's a change for the better. You know, we're getting ready to paint up a little bit in our bedroom, renovate. Boy, we got some paint last night. We're going to paint a couple walls and put a new floor in. You know, change for the better. But Christ moves in and brings his spirit in our heart and really desires that we get with the program. And Paul, you know, encouraging us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, please, come on, let's move forward, let's go forward. You know, I see the need more greater, maybe it's a personal thing, I don't know, but it's the truth. The times we face is a time for us to go forward. Seems like there's a greater resistance in the time we live, in the culture. Things are getting wicked. You know, there's an irreverence for the Bible and God, unlike any time that I've lived. And the truth is, it's time to go on the offense. It's time to go forward in our spiritual life. It's time to rise up, move, live, go forward. And Paul's saying the same thing. Let's get with the program. You know, be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Really, this renewal, word for renewal in Romans 12 is, there's only one other usage. It's in Titus 3:5. You don't have to go there. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. That same renovation process that takes place within us is what Paul's talking about. He's going to get into deeper. But it comes with a new way of thinking we're to adopt with our conversion and growth, you know, in Christ, walk with Christ, new life in Christ. comes with a new way of thinking. You know, not to think the old way. Paul says, you know, we're not to think higher than we ought. We're having a proper estimation of ourselves in the new way of thinking. You know, level-headed. Not an overestimation, higher than we ought. You know, pride is a killer. You know, I used to have a massive ego. I still have an ego. But my ego was totally out of reality. You know, and the closer I get to Christ, the more I realize how much of a problem my pride was and is. But he's saying not to think of ourselves higher than we ought. You know, that's not the, in concert with the new way of thinking. That's with the old way of thinking. We're to be transformed. And turn to Luke chapter 18. I'll look at a old way of thinking. Jesus tells a parable. And look at verse 11. Well, look at verse 9. Also, he spoke a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed this way with himself. God, I thank you. I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I pay. Notice how many times I is mentioned in this verse, in two verses, five times. I. Man, I'm so glad I'm not like somebody else. He thinks higher of himself, higher than himself than he ought to think. Jesus used him as an example, you know, to contrast somebody that became saved, that went away justified. Pride goes before destruction, the Bible tells us, you know, in Proverbs. In Ecclesiastes, the Bible tells us, do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Pride is destructive. And it belongs in the old life, not in the new life. It's the old way of thinking. It's unhealthy. Interesting, Val was putting up the lattice the other day for it. Isn't that cool? That was a neat thing to do, and looks great. Thank you, Val. And we dropped off something for Roseanne, a ladies' Bible study. We weren't even going to come here, and we came for a few minutes, Jason and I. And right at the same time, a guy from the radio station, 10:30 a.m., showed up. And he's going to come to our outreach. And we sat down, talked a minute. But the timing, it was like God's divine appointment. And but while we were talking, you know, he's saying, you know, what's the greatest challenge in the church? He asked, gave me a few, you know, he grilled me a little bit. And I said, new souls is the greatest challenge for us as a church. We need new souls. But we were thinking, you know, our church is, I was thinking in my mind the other day, Macomb Motor City Casino. MCC is the opposite initials of Calvary Chapel Macomb. And it kind of defines the opposite work and purpose of the church. We're here, you know, it's inverted. We're against the world. And for good reason and good cause. But then Jason started going with it. He says, you know, this new commercial that they got on TV, you know, the construction's over. You know, and they peel away the stripes, and now it's time to party, man. Come down to the casino. You know, waste your money on riotous living and revelry. Get drunk. You know, destroy your brain cells. But Jason said, now the construction over, let the destruction begin. But pride goes before destruction. High-minded, you know, you think of yourself higher than you ought. Paul says, don't think that way. That's an old way of thinking. Think the new way. He said, think soberly. You know, don't be drunk in your own pride, intoxicated, thinking higher of yourself than you ought. but think soberly, level-headed. I turn to 1 Peter, you know, as a familiar verse in chapter 1, or I'll turn there and read it to you. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, yes, I think it is right. That's the wrong scripture. But Peter says, gird up the loins in your mind. You know, be sober. You know, adopt a new thinking that comes along with our conversion in Jesus Christ and the new nature. That word he uses for sober, Paul does, it's, you pronounce it, ice. It's mentioned over 1,700 times in the scripture. But rarely is it used for sober. It's used for into and to and for and in and unto more than 90% of the time. It's just a word that means get into this new way of thinking. You know, don't be, you know, fixed in the old way of thinking. You know, adopt the new way of thinking. And he says, don't think of yourself higher than you ought, but think soberly, the new way, of thinking. It's in keeping with the renewal of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How we're to think about ourselves, the new way of thinking. You know, God has an opinion of us. God tells us what he thinks about us. We're to be true in the new you, in keeping with the way God thinks about us. God's opinion of me, who I am in Christ, I'm to think about. My opinion must line up to him. If my opinion of myself and my thinking doesn't line up in accordance to the way God thinks and his opinion of me, then there's a problem. It's destructive, self-destructive. You ever hear that? Point to your head. Point to your head and say the initials for mountain.
Empty.
Yeah, you're empty-headed. If you're not aligned with God's way of thinking, you don't adopt the new way of thinking. It's empty-headed. But Paul gets into it. You know, the new way of thinking. Spiritual mind. He goes on in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. Paul talks about, you know, first he uses the illustration of our own body. And our body's made up with different members. You know, we got different functions, different organs in our body. You know, different limbs of our body. And though we're different, you know, connected, you know, individual members, yet one body, you know, mastered by one mind. But how Paul uses the illustration to talk about really a new spiritual way of thinking. You're a part of a body now. And though you're an individual, there's many members in this body of Christ that we're to see ourselves a part of in the new way of thinking. This is hard for me. I mean, this is a tough one. You know, I'm a capitalist. You know, I think in my mind, you know, hey, I got my family, my own anthill, you know. Got to take care of my own aunts and my own family. But God's way of thinking is different. We're part of a community. And I fight this. And yet, whether I fight it or not, the truth is, it's God's way. We're a part of one another as a network. Though individual, yet we're connected, you know, just like a body, of our own body. So is the body of Christ. Different gifts. So we meet many, yet one. individual yet connected, many members, different functions in our own body, as an example. Paul says, let us use the gifts that we have, that God's given us, a new way of thinking, and put it to use. Let us use them is actually in italics. It's not there. It was given, you know, placed there for better understanding, interpretation, but belongs there. Because he goes on to explain the gifts. You know, if you got the gift of prophecy, prophecy. You prophet, if you got the gift of prophecy, prophesy. Use the gifts God has given you. Put them to use. Different way of thinking. Different way of seeing. In verse 6, he says, according to the grace given. Just like Paul, you know, when he, in verse 3, look in the beginning of verse 3, he says, for I say, through the grace given to me. See, he, as an example, talks about, you know, having a new way of thinking, one with humility, approaches the Romans with humility. Now, by and through the grace that's been given to me, he exercises his authority as an apostle. Same with the exercise of the gifts that God has given us. He's talking about grace. The book of Romans is about grace. God giving gifts freely. Not because we deserve them, but God has gifts for all of us. We're to use them. It's the new way of thinking. Humility comes from spiritual thinking. He says, you know, the gifts are diverse and yet there's unity to them. And they're apart, yet they're connected. It's interesting, you know, because how do I see myself in this picture, in this new way of thinking, in this illustration Paul's giving us? Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. How do you think? How do you see yourself? Paul, in Ephesians 4, verse 12, defines and describes why God gives gifts. The purpose of giving gifts is for the equipping of the saints, in chapter 4, verse 12, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. It's for giving one another equipment. It's for building up one another. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, till we grow up to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of fullness of Christ, that we can grow up and be spiritually enabled to walk on our own, to see ourselves as he sees us, adopt a new way of thinking, to use the gifts that God has given us, is what Paul's saying. I was thinking about how, you know, to build the body is the purpose of the gifts. Kind of a different way of thinking or looking at it. And you come into the church, can you consider or think that this is a gym? It's kind of like a bodybuilding gym. And in the bodybuilding gym, there's different gifts. There's different machines. Different posts. Different places. Just like you go into a gym. You go into a gym, you know, you get on a treadmill. There's a line of them. You go over to the bench and, you know, and you work your separate muscles and your different, you know, operations in the gym. This is like the Calvary gym. We're here, but we all are not here to work the equipment, but we're part of the equipment. We get the benefit of reaping the gifts of each other, but we're to be involved and to help one another. We all have a post. We all have a place. Some of us, you know, are to be just like they are there at the gym. You know, they're there to describe and define and explain the Hercules machine. Don't use it too much. This is how you use it. You know, and the Bowflex. I never really belonged to a gym, so I'm not real, you know, eloquent But the truth is, I've been there a couple times, YMCA, you know, and you see the different machines, equipment, and the purpose of them. It's a bodybuilding team, effort, purpose, equipping of the saints, so that we could grow. That's the new way of thinking, according to the new nature, spiritually, and with humility. You know, you could be gifted and yet humble. Isn't that a, you know, attractive quality in a person? That's what God's calling us to be gifted yet humble. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul, in another place in the Bible, talks to the Corinthians about gifts, the use of gifts, the purpose of the gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 4. He says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit." One Spirit. "There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but the same God." It is the same God who works all in all. Unity. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given for each one for the profit of all." Notice the purpose of the gifts. The manifestation of the Spirit is given for the profit of all. And we're all here to be a part of one another's benefit. No, it's like, you know, God gives you fruit that others can eat the fruit. So the more fruit you got, He's given to you so that others can have. For the equipping of the saints, He says, "For the manifestation of the Spirit," when the Holy Spirit is obviously working in your life, it's for the profit of all. Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Verse 9, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." The master over the gifts, the Holy Spirit. But the purpose, he mentions in verse 7, "for the profit of all." Verse 8, they're given, but they're not given to us for our possession. They're given as like for us to manage. We're stewards over the gifts to be used for the Lord, for His purpose, for the edifying of the saints. In verse 11, it's up to God. It's according to His will. It's His plan, what He does. It's kind of interesting because back in Romans, he says, you know, "Let us think soberly, not higher than we ought. And let us use these gifts." And Paul talks about, you know, as, you know, by faith, as God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. You know, according to the way God deals the gifts, how God deals the, how He made us, and for the purpose He made us. But we're to be involved. Use the gifts. Participate. Is what Paul's saying is really a part of a new way of thinking. That transformation we always talk about. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Be transformed." Not conformed to the old way, not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're to adopt the new way of thinking, the new life, the new nature, the new way. As Paul talks about the gifts as part of the new thinking process and the new mind and the new life, the transformed life. Someone with the transformed life living in the new nature sees things these ways. The gifts, the body, the purpose of the gifts, understanding the use of the gifts for the Lord, for each other. Paul says, you know, it's like a bodybuilding Calvary gym. We're to get involved. And Romans, in the next portion, he kind of gives a little clip of the gifts and the use of the gifts. In verse 6, he goes on, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, according to the grace that is given to us freely, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or prophesying, you know, in the Old Testament, prophesying meant the foretelling of the future. In the New Testament, it really means speaking forth the Word of God under the unction of the Holy Spirit. That could mean, you know, about someone's future. But it's speaking God's Word forth according to and under His operation of the Spirit. New operation system. New way of thinking. If prophecy, prophesy. Use your gift. Ministry, he goes on. Verse 7, or ministry, let us use it in ministry. That's pretty simple. Using your gift for what God planned it to be used for. He's gifted us all. He desires us all to use the gifts. You know, if it's in service, ministering, you know, minister, prophesy. Teaching, you know, different posts, exhortation. That means to encourage others. You know, some people have that such a beautiful gift of encouraging. And that gift comes so natural and easy. Just rolls off their lips. Use that. We need that gift. We need that gift, you know, to be encouraged, to build up one another. He gives. In verse 8, exhortation, he who exhorts, exhortation, he who gives with liberality. God's giving you a generous heart. Just go with it. He who leads with diligence. God gave you the gift of leadership. It's kind of, you know, it's counterproductive to lag behind. Be diligent. Exercise your gift. He with mercy, if he's given you that merciful heart disposition, you know, with cheerfulness, that means with a hilarious, just be happy, give mercy, share, exercise the gift. Grace gives their understanding, new thinking, according to the grace given to you. It's in wrapped up in the package of the gifts, God's grace. It's all about God's grace. God's grace gives gifts. Faith receives them. Faith opens your heart to them. Faith sees that it's God's gracious, you know, openness to share. That's what he wants to do, give gifts. He wants to propagate his body and move. We need new life. We need new souls. If we don't get new souls, we're going to die. This church will die without new growth, new souls. That's one thing, you know, someone comes in and, you know, they change churches. New growth is what we need. You know, you plant a tree, new trees. You know, you should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We need life. Grace gives, faith receives. The Bible tells us, you know, it's really about new way of thinking and thinking in, you know, a humble way of thinking. Humility. Someone gifted and yet humble, like Paul. God gives grace to the humble. You know, just like you point to your head and give the initials of a mountain. You know, the opposite of that. You know, I'm preaching to myself, man. I need to rise up and go forward. That's my prayer. My prayer is for life and adopting that life. That's part of adopting the new way of thinking. Seeing things the way he sees adopting the opinion of God of me over my own opinion of myself. But, you know, the opposite of pointing to your head and giving the initials of mountain is coming before him. I had a little note in my notes with an expectation, with a bucket in your hand and heading to the well. God desires to give to us. It's his plan. It's his way. We just need to be open to receive. Jesus said, as your faith is, be it unto you. Believe that you receive and you will have them. An open heart to the new way of life and a faith that's desires to receive. Let's stand. We are slowly going through Romans. Let's pray. You know, it's one thing. We go through the scriptures, you know, and we're acquainted with these different, you know, passages or scriptures mentally. But to adopt them spiritually, to apply them, you know, spiritually is what God's, the reason God wrote them, for us to receive and to change, be transformed, not conform to the old way or conform to the old, well, to the world, but be transformed by a renewing of your thinking process, renewal of your mind. Lord, help us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We ask, Lord, that again, you would plant it in our heart. Lord, that we apply this truth, Lord, by receiving it by faith. We know, Lord, that it's by your power that we exercise the gifts. And it's by and through your Spirit that it's even possible. But Lord, we believe and we turn to you. Change our heart. Give us desire. Help us, Lord, step up in an evil time and go forward. How a man stands in a fallen world. Lord, cause us. Give us energy, spiritual energy, strength, passion, heart, desire. For your plan, Lord, in your way, a new way of thinking, to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Lord, we need you. We need you to employ this truth. Download it. Give us a new operation system to walk after you, to follow you, to be free who we are individually. To see ourselves connected, a part of one another, your body, your way, Lord. We can't do this in our own strength. We look to you, Lord, for change, for growth. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and we do ask that it find fertile ground in our heart according to your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.